Now you may be seated. Isn't it great? Isn't it wonderful to look to the Lord and sing that prayer? Isn't it wonderful? To look to Him, to be the one who teaches us and does the work in us that only He can do. It's a wonderful thing. Left to ourselves, we are most desperate. And He has to show us everything. And so we look to Him as we come to His Word. And we read again this morning from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. We'll read verses 22 to 33, though we particularly focus on the section pertaining to wives today. But we read this section 22 to 33, Ephesians chapter 5. This is God's holy word. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. God's holy word. May He write it upon our hearts. Let's pray again together. Father, help us now, we pray, to receive this word. Now give us grace, Lord. Let none of us think this does not apply to us. All of us, we need this instruction, how we need it in a dying culture. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we begin again this morning by asserting that there are things here to which our Lord Jesus Christ calls us as husbands and wives, that can only be understood and carried out in the power of the Spirit of God. So we say again, those of the world cannot understand, nor can they ever do what is enjoined in this section. Duties of husband and wife. They can't be understood apart from a true faith in the gospel, a robust understanding of the gospel. Grace, could you get me a drink of water? Thank you. So, spiritual headship can't be understood. Spiritual submission can't be understood. We say again, in merely external ways, the unbeliever can imitate what's here. But for the unbelieving heart, submission will always feel like bondage. And headship will always be a self-centered dominion for the unbelieving heart. So again, what are the Christians? Biblical headship, biblical submission. We say these truths can't be understood, brothers and sisters, apart from a robust understanding of the gospel. They can't be reclaimed apart from a robust understanding of the gospel. And they do need to be reclaimed. And again, that's the particular sense in which This sermon, as we focus on this particular section, it applies to all of us. We really need to take it to heart. Because things are very bad in our culture when it comes to these things we focus on these next few weeks. You might say, again, you might say, well, I'm not, you know, somebody might say, well, I'm not a wife or I'm not a husband. You need to know these things. You need to know them for the sake of Christ, for the glory of the gospel, because our culture doesn't have it right. And if we're going to have any particular strong impact in our culture, brothers and sisters, these are some of the things that you have to get right. So these are the things. It's interesting how this works. These are the things that the world is most offended by. In other words, these are the things that cut across the world the most. Sort of that application of law, the standard of God, the world feels that. They react to it, don't they? Let's do away with this headship submission stuff. I'm for egalitarianism. Thank you. And we live in a culture that's increasingly steeped in egalitarian thought. Headship, oh my. Patriarchal mindset, oh boy, that's old stuff, that's Old Testament stuff, that's mean God stuff. Submission, oh, that means inferiority. That's what the world says. Away with it! That's what the world says. So very significant with respect to how we understand these things, brothers and sisters. You want to have an impact on the culture? Wives, you want to have an impact on the culture? There's few better ways than this way. Now they'll react. They'll say, well, how can you do that? How can you do that? How can you stand for that? But really, it's just the same thing as with respect to our submission and obedience to Christ. How can you do that? How can you stand for that? Very similar. Isn't that like a bondage? And here you are, you're in church this morning. You're going to be in church this evening. How can you stand this bondage of submission? I mean, spaghetti dinner, you might as well take the day off, right? That's how the world thinks. That's how the world thinks. Though spiritual headship cannot be understood, spiritual submission cannot be understood apart from a robust understanding of the gospel. The Christian man who doesn't fully grasp the gospel ends up either abrogating his responsibility to lead or else he ends up being a little tyrant in his home. It's all because he doesn't understand the gospel properly. Christian man now. Christian woman who does not fully grasp the gospel ends up either doing something that she thinks is submission and she dreads it, she feels like a doormat, or she recoils at any true submission and ekes out some alternate way of engaging in her marriage. That's status quo. I'm afraid that's rather the status quo among Christians. So this morning we consider, brothers and sisters, four features of biblical submission. And we're going to try to get to some important clarifications concerning what submission is not. We've got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to try to do it first, we need to do this first very quickly. We need to be reminded of our preliminary considerations as we approach this section. I'll do it very quickly. We say again, now you're going to follow closely today because we're going to cover a lot. We're going to do a lot today, all right? We say first, what follows in these verses is an outworking of our calling as believers. It's an outworking of our sanctification. We said this last time, just a reminder. So what follows here, brothers and sisters, are matters of maturity to which each of us, according to our particular station in life, must give heed. For the Christian husband, loving his wife as Christ loved the church is a gauge of his maturity in Christ. How he exercises his headship is a gauge of his spiritual maturity. But the Christian wife, submitting to her husband as the church does to Christ, is a gauge of her spiritual maturity. We say also that what follows, and these are all really related, but what follows is conditioned by our submission to one another. We saw that from verse 21, chapter 5. Which is to say, we are Christians first. Right? So a good Christian, you remember we said this, a good Christian is a good husband. A mature Christian is a good husband. An immature Christian is a poor husband. A good Christian is a good wife. A mature Christian is a good wife. An immature Christian makes a poor wife. Be reminded also of this. For wives, we find here really a specialized application of the same duty. This within Christ's prescribed order. In other words, the Christian woman who's come to understand and appreciate and practice submission to her brothers and sisters in Christ won't have great difficulty in exercising submission to her husband. He's a brother in Christ. The Christian woman who finds it difficult to put off the flesh and serve others will have a hard time in her marriage. So again, these things are all tied together. Christian maturity, growing in Christ, my sanctification. These are all really features of sanctification. We note once again, for our men, particularly, that the instruction to wives here is more brief. Thus, it is the husband's responsibility that is emphasized in this section. And also this, we said there's a distinct sense in which this section, we mean just now concerning the duty of wives, is addressed to husbands. For that very reason, because the husband has headship. Headship means responsibility. The husband is 100% responsible for what's happening in the marriage. Again, we clarify, his wife's sin is her sin. But he bears primary responsibility for the maintenance and nurture of the marriage. If my wife struggles with her responsibilities as a wife, I am responsible. Now, I can't render the submission which is hers to offer. But I bear primary responsibility to encourage her as she works out this feature of her growth and calling. So that's headship. It means responsibility. And the husband is 100% responsible for what is happening in the marriage. The wife's responsible for her own walk before God and to render submission to her husband, but she's not responsible for the well-being and maintenance of the total marriage as the husband is, in the same way that the husband is. So those are our preliminaries again. Set the plate. That's what we did last time. Now let's consider together four features of biblical submission. Noting this first, a wife's submission to her husband is a matter first of her service to Christ. I'd say, well, Pastor, you already said that. Well, we're saying it again. Very important. And we see it here, don't we? Wives, submit to your own husbands, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. It's very clear, isn't it? It's a matter first of her service to Christ. Very important. And should be humbling to the husband for that reason. Brothers, our wives don't submit to us because we're such great guys. They submit to us first because Christ calls them to it. It's a feature of their service to Him, their devotion to Him. So to be subject, to subordinate, subject oneself. We thought on this already with respect to the Greek. It means to line up under. Present participle, it indicates a continual duty. And this is precisely how our service to Christ, that we said already, is framed in verse 21. Be submitting to your own husbands as to the Lord. So again, this submission is an expression or extension of the wife's service and submission to Christ. That means it is not a matter of the husband deserving or earning such submission. Again, think about this. Of course, the same pertains to our mutual submission to one another, brothers and sisters. I can't refuse a proper submission to my brother on the grounds that I see sin and fault in him. We're to submit to one another, sinners though we are. So we see the consistency here. Thus, for the wife, she can't refuse submission to her husband on the grounds that she sees sin in him. So as soon as you're sinless, I'll submit to you. How's that work? Or as soon as you're sanctified enough, then I'll submit to you. Prove yourself, right? prove yourself first, then I'll think about this. No. It's not a matter of the husband deserving or earning such submission. Now we say too that as a matter of service to Christ, and we mentioned this last time, this is a fundamental duty. In other words, each spouse here is addressed according to need or weakness. We said, you remember, generally speaking, a woman has little difficulty loving her husband. That's because of her orientation. That's because of the way she's made in part. She's oriented to her husband, and she's quite naturally oriented to relationship, while the man is fundamentally oriented to his calling. It's a sort of a difference in how we're wired. It doesn't tell the whole picture. It's just a slice of it, but it's helpful. So the woman primarily oriented to her husband, this is why she has, in a way, such a natural capacity to love him, to love her husband. Even to love a man that perhaps she doesn't respect. You've seen this happen before? Capacity of a woman to love a man she doesn't respect. You say something like, why does she stay with him? You ever said that? I don't understand why she stays with him. Well, it's sort of a natural orientation. Terrific capacity to love. Orientation toward the relationship. Relationally oriented. That's another way we can put it. And again, this is why, in terms of natural giftedness and so on, this is why, of course, women pick up on things in relationships much more quickly than men, right? I mean, there's something going on in a room, and the women are all there, the men are all there, and after you come away, the wife says, "Oh boy, did you notice that?" You know, and the man is like, "What? What? What do you mean? Oh yeah, it was bad over there. You know, there was something. There was this going on over there. Really?" Well, women are oriented to relationships, and brothers, by the way, that's a great advantage for us if we learn to be serviced by that. It's a great advantage. It's a feature of counsel our wives can bring to us that men can't. It's very, very crucial. Anyway, we say in that respect it's a fundamental duty, this submission. It's fundamental. It's according to the way, or it speaks to the way the woman is made. So we said in this section, the apostle addresses husbands and wives according to their weakness in that respect. He addresses wives and husbands according to their weakness. It's not so necessary to command the wife to cultivate love to her husband. Now, she needs to, but it's not so necessary with respect to weakness now. The particular focus of the wife is to be that of submission. So again, the apostle addresses wives in terms of their native weakness. It's uniquely challenging to submit to one who is a sinner. It is. Now, in that respect, submission to the Lord and submission to the husband are different, aren't they? You submit to the Lord. Well, he's not a sinner. Well, what about this guy? This isn't easy. It's not easy. So Paul addresses it, doesn't he? And addresses the woman according to her weakness. We say again, you know, husbands, generally speaking, are not so adept at the art of loving. So the apostle addresses us according to our weakness. You know, we can get all taken up with our calling, and we need to be urged to tenderly love our wives. Now, there's an interesting change that comes about when a man's courting a woman, of course. You've noticed this. When a man's courting a woman, that's his calling. See, he's working on his calling here. So he's very, you know, he's very focused, you know, thinking about what he can do, you know, just the right things. He's very focused on this. Then once they get married, it's like, oh, well, back to my other engagements, you know. Not engagements, but my other concerns, right? It's as if he takes his eye off the ball. Well, he's accomplished that now. And the wife will say, well, you were so much more tender when we were engaged. Honey, what's happened? Well, I haven't changed, he says. Not changed. So Paul addresses husbands and wives according to their weakness here. And so husbands, and we're going to get to you. To us, I should say, down the road. Secondly, this. A wife's submission to her husband is a matter of the divine ordering of life. This is very important. A matter of the divine ordering of life. See how Paul puts it, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. This is a matter of the divine ordering of life. So spiritually speaking, it's not optional. In other words, it's a design feature. Now, it's a divine law of life. Marriage is a divinely established institution which can only see blessing according to divine design. If I live contrary to the design, I cannot know the blessing of the marriage relationship. So we can't say, thinking of the wife here in particular, I'll do it if I like it. I'll do it if I'm treated thus and so. I'll do it if I regard my husband worthy of it, if he loves me sufficiently. No, we say this is central to the wife's calling before Christ with respect to her marriage. This is central to the wife's working out of her sanctification. So, to put it just in a slightly different way, it's essential to the nature and blessing of the union. Think about this. Christ is wonderfully joined to his church, isn't he? But how? As the head is to the body. As the head is to the body. The blessings of our union with Christ are known only in the context of this headship and submission. And so we think in terms of the marriage, husband and wife. The blessings of union are known only in the context of headship and submission. Now, among other things, that, brothers and sisters, is the reason that when a culture messes with the divine institution of marriage, it can never work. It can never work. It can never work to true blessing. It never can. Now, for other reasons too, but certainly for this reason. Now, we're going to have an egalitarian relationship. People will say, we're not going to do this. You know, we're not going to do this headship submission thing. That's old stuff. We're going to have a good relationship. We're going to have a modern relationship. We're going to have a free relationship. And it never works. It never works. We realize people can live together sort of palsy-walsy, okay? People can do that. But even in college, it doesn't work so well. But the husband and the wife, we say, the blessings of union are known in the context of headship and submission. So those who try to remake the institution of marriage, those who attempt to redesign it, can never know the true and full blessings of that union as Christ intended it. And it is a wonderful union with wonderful blessings. But the world cannot see that. Now we note this just companion sort of fact too, that the husband as head is to be an agent of blessing to the wife. See how Paul puts it again. The husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Our Lord Jesus Christ as head is Savior. He protects, he cleanses, he nourishes. Thus we see something of the husband's responsibility, don't we? We're going to think on this in fuller measure in a couple of weeks. So we see something of the husband's responsibility and the spiritual disposition of the wife which corresponds or answers to this. It's her submission. So I want to know blessing in my marriage. How can I know blessing in my marriage? How can I know blessing in this union? Well, Christ designed it. Christ designed it. He knows how this works. And it's a wonderful thing. It's not a mediocre design. It's a beautiful design. A wonderful design mirrored in Christ and his church. Thirdly, this. A wife's submission to her husband is a matter of fundamental orientation. Fundamental orientation. Verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So as the church is subject to Christ, So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So we think about this pattern of submission to Christ. And we need to see submission as an expression of love. To see it properly, we see it as an expression of love. What's the character of the submission of the church to Christ? Again, presuming we understand the gospel. That's the grand assumption here. You understand the gospel. If a person really understands the gospel, what's the character of their submission to Christ? Is it slavish? No. For the legalist, it's slavish. The legalist is a slave. Not the one who really understands the gospel. It's not slavish, no. It's not a dread or slavish thing. Gospel obedience and submission is of this order, expression of love, a matter of delight, so that when we understand the gospel best, we see that our submission is a submission of love. In other words, it's a glad and joyful submission. It's a glad and joyful submission. So we need to see submission that way. It's properly an expression of love. But also this, submission must be approached as a foundational assumption. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by it? I mean that the wife needs to approach the relationship with this in place. So the wife says, in effect, or this is her disposition, when all is said and done, the bottom line is, I will follow you in what you think is best. That's up front, disposition in place. It's a given, in other words. It's how you approach the relationship. You're ready, you're willing to go his way. So you don't go into, again, you don't go into it saying, well, we'll see. Tell me what you want to do and then I'll decide. And to be sure, in some cases, his decision may turn out to be not looking so great. Ever had that happen? I'll follow you, honey. Crash! Right? But that's his responsibility. That's his responsibility. He still has to lead, and you must let him lead, and you must support him in it. Now we say this too, since this submission is a fundamental orientation in God's design for marriage, it's also a powerful example. Powerful example. Now of course, both husbands and wives teach by their example, don't they? Even if they don't think about it. Often as we're not thinking about how we teach by our example, right? The husband, by his example, teaches every day. Brothers, you're teaching this every day. This is how Christ loves his church. That's what you're teaching every day. So if it's, you know, Christ loves his church by laying down, Christ loves his church by laying down on the couch and never doing anything. Is that how Christ loves his church? Christ loves his church by playing video games 10 hours a day? Some men do this! It's a big problem in our culture, by the way. See you, honey. I'll be gone for 5 hours. I'll be out in the game room. Tragic, huh? I'm getting together with the guys. We're getting together online. I'll be busy for 8 hours. Playing games! You know how I feel about this. Okay. You want to say, I mean, you know, you say certain things in the flesh, you need to say in spiritually, right? You want to say, grow up. Grow up. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Okay, I shouldn't maybe single out a single area. Men are good at wasting time a lot of ways. Right? A lot of ways. But the husband, by his example, teaches every day. This is how Christ loves his church. The wife, by her example, teaches every day. This is how the church is to submit to Christ. Like this. Watch me. This is how you do it. The wife teaches every day. And the children already have it figured out that your submission here is not to a perfect husband. Kids have that figured out. They know that part. But if you exhibit a readiness to follow, to submit in all things not sinful, it's a wonderful picture of our readiness to follow the Lord in whatever he asks of us. And yes, sometimes he does ask of us things that are unpleasant and difficult to carry out. And it's precisely for this reason that the example of your submission speaks powerful, a lasting impression. Finally, a wife's submission to her husband is a matter of reverence and respect. We really see that in verse 33, which is a parallel, a sort of summary statement of all that's gone before with respect to the wife. Very end of that section, verse 33. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. So as a fundamental duty of the husband is to love his wife, to nourish and cherish her, the fundamental duty of the wife is to respect and honor and submit to her husband. Now we say this is very helpful in terms of defining the nature of submission. A wife is to honor her husband. A wife is to cultivate respect for her husband. Very important. Now we said already, women have a tremendous capacity to love. Even love men they don't respect. The needful thing, however, the thing to focus on is the respecting of your husband. Powerful, powerful, positive force in the marriage to encourage him in his responsibility and how he carries it out. You know, you could title this section with respect to wives. So, for wives, how to help your husband in his responsibilities. How powerful is this? Well, Peter speaks of it, 1 Peter chapter 2. Christ is pleased to use this as one of the means that he brings men to Christ. How's that? He speaks there, you know, of being one without a word and the disposition of the wife. Submissive, respectful disposition. One of the things that Christ is pleased to use to bring about the salvation of a soul. It's pretty powerful. So treat your husband like a king, and you will not end up with a tyrant or a dictator. By the grace of God, you will end up with a man who nourishes and cherishes you. I'll often put it this way. The very best, to wives, the very best thing, you know, oftentimes there are concerns about the husband. I mean, you know, he needs to grow. Yes! Oftentimes concerns about the husband, his spiritual growth, that he needs to love more tenderly and so on. Well, the very best thing you can do is cultivate a respect for him. That's the very best thing you can do. That fills his tank properly. And we're not meaning to be manipulative here. It's an expression of my service to Christ. But there's nothing that fills a man's tank like this. All right, we have just a couple of minutes left. And we have to speak about what submission does not mean. Quickly then. What does submission not mean? We've said some of these things or alluded to them already. Biblical submission does not mean inferiority. Think again of our Savior's submission to the Father. Though the woman is the more delicate vessel, she is not in any sense inferior. Always sad when men don't have this figured out. Very sad. They think they lead because they're some superior being or something. Crash. That's not going to go well. Biblical submission does not mean inferiority. Secondly, biblical submission does not mean the woman is of lesser worth to God. Is the woman a less useful vessel? No. Is her design somehow flawed? No! Does God love the woman less or esteem her less in that he calls her to this unique place of service and submission in his purpose? Again, one question answers that. Did God the Father love his Son less in that he purposed that his Son should submit to his will and be a servant for the sake of sinners? Did God the Father love his Son less on that account? I think we argue he loved him more on that account. Oh, the woman is not of lesser worth to God. No, this is precious. This is precious in the sight of God. Precious in the sight of God is the submission of a woman to her husband. It's a precious thing. Culture hates it. It's precious to Christ. It has the notice of heaven. Precious to God. And so, warning to the brothers, you watch what you do. You better be careful what you do. You better be careful. This thing, this matter of your wife submitting to you, it's precious in the sight of God. What else? Just a couple other things. Biblical submission does not mean doing whatever he says. Now, what do we mean by this? Well, a husband has no liberty to ask his wife to do things sinful. That's very clear, or it should be very clear. Husband has no liberty to ask his wife to do things sinful, things that are contrary to the clear word of God. So a husband, for instance, a husband cannot say to his wife, maybe he's an unbeliever, you can't go to church. He can't say that. He can't. I mean, he'll say it. Does the wife have to stay home because her husband says you can't go to church? No. No. I'm sorry, and how you carry this out is very crucial. I'm sorry, honey, you know. This sounds so absurd even to say it, doesn't it? I'm sorry, honey, I need to worship God. I mean, it sounds crazy to have to say it, right? There's this primary calling. Every Christian is first a worshiper of God. Or the husband who says, I don't want you reading that Bible. Don't read that Bible. Am I supposed to obey that? No, I don't think so, no. Now, biblical submission does not mean doing whatever he says. If he's requiring things sinful, no. Said another way, the wife's ultimate authority is God and his word. A husband has no authority to supersede that. His authority as husband is a derived authority. It's an authority that he has, in other words, under God. So the wife might say to the husband, you have an authority here. However, honey, it's an authority under God. Huh? It's an authority under God. So, I'll be at worship. I'll be back soon. Right? Now, alongside that, if your husband asks what is lawful in accord with God's word, there's sufficient reason to follow. But no, biblical submission does not mean doing whatever a man says. I think about the sexual area, for instance. In our day and age, some husbands can want to require some rather kinky things of their wives. Unbiblical. Sisters, you don't have to do it. No. Well, that got everybody quiet. But an important application. Finally, this biblical submission does not mean never appealing his decisions. Sisters, you are the closest confidant. You're the best counselor your husband has. But how you bring that counsel to him is of crucial importance. Remember the crucial assumption again with respect to approach. You make it abundantly clear up front. I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to follow you. But can we talk about it? And every husband of that ought to say, well, of course we can. Of course. Of course. You're my closest confidant. You're my most valued counselor. How can I keep you out of this? Or how can I minimize your part or your input here? Far be it from me to minimize it. So the wife says, I'm ready to follow you, but can we talk about it? If we don't see exactly eye to eye on an issue and there's no sin in going either way, I'm ready to go the way you wish. And this, very important, not only will I not complain about it, I will support you fully in it, even if it appears to fail. I will not say, I told you so. Right? This is our mutual submission to one another. Say in a session with among elders, this is how it operates. This is how it works, and only mature men can do this. You have the discussion. Maybe you don't all agree. Sometimes you don't all agree, but you make a decision, right? It's everyone's decision then. You take ownership of it together, and you don't say afterwards, "Well, I knew that was a bad decision." Told you so, No. So biblical submission does not mean never appealing his decisions. Well, we close with this. Remember, dear sisters, again, that submission which our Savior rendered to the Father on our behalf, that submission never, never caused him to feel like a doormat. It did not in the least render him unfulfilled. He never dreaded that submission. Such submission never diminished his joy in serving the Father. Ever. Ever. These are truths that need to be reclaimed. They need to be reclaimed. And again, the only way they can be reclaimed is by a robust understanding of the gospel. You got to have a heart set free to get this. So you need the gospel. You got to have a heart set free. You got to learn what obedience to God really is, what its complexion really is, that it's a thing of joy. And then all these matters fit under it. Let's pray together as we close. Father, help us all, we pray. Help us to take these things to heart. Look upon us in our need, Father. Minister to us. Increase our faith. We ask it for Christ's glory. Amen. Amen. All right, we close with a hymn number 642. 642, Be Thou My Vision. 642. Let's stand.